This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
This podcast is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. For more than 20 years, Premier's expert surgeons have helped thousands of East Tennessee patients in the fight against breast cancer.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Hour two is brought to you by Alumni Hall, alumnihall.com, and we have Touchdown Turnover, which is backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong, better rates and better service. Last night, the Giants and the Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, took the field yesterday in the Thursday night matchup on Fox. And it was supposed to be a tough fought game between two bitter rivals, and it was far from that. It was a beatdown, and the Eagles take care of business against the New York Giants. Giants go to 1-5, fourth in the NFC East. I love the throwback Giants uniforms. Reminds me of the Lawrence Taylor days and Bill Parcells coaching those boys. I love the old school Giants look. It's time, guys. It's time. Touchdown Turnover. It's time for the Giants to move on from Eli Manning. Move on from Eli Manning, touchdown or turnover. And what I mean by moving on, that means draft the quarterback this year. That means possibly bench Eli Manning this year. But it is time for the Giants to move on and have a new quarterback in 2019. Touchdown, turnover. It's time to move on from Eli Manning.
It's going to be a touchdown for me. I would say it's time for Eli Manning to move on from the Giants. And obviously, I don't mean move on to another team or anything like that. I think it's time to go. It's time to go, Eli.
Time to retire?
You're not going to go out on top like your brother did because your team kind of sucks. But I just think, I mean, he's run his course. You know, you won two Super Bowls. You had a great career. You've really done it in a huge way. And I just think I'm trying to find, how old is he? He's 37. I mean, you're right up there, bumping your head right up against sort of that age limit of sorts that the NFL has, you know, right around 40. And so, step away. Don't outstay your welcome. Don't be a Brett Favre. And just let the Giants find their guy. And I think if I'm the Giants, I communicate that to Eli. That's what I would want out of him. Like, don't make us bench you. Don't make this hard. You can go out with dignity right here. Or, I mean, we got to find somebody else who can do it better. Because he just, like I said, I mean, his career's just kind of run its course.
I say touchdown, but I would wait until after the season. You have Davis Webb and Kyle Lauletta as your second string and third string backup quarterbacks. Obviously, the Giants are not going to make the playoffs this year. But even in the meantime, benching Eli for Davis Webb is not going to give you a better chance at winning football games. Eli has taken a dramatic step back in terms of his production. He's not really playing winning football anymore. He's just kind of average. And in the NFL, average gets you beat. And he has a little more help this year with Saquon Barkley, who is a terrific player, but that offensive line is still absolute trash. And until the Giants really fix that aspect of their team, it may not matter what quarterback they draft in the first round, because he's just going to get completely beat up all the time. But I do think Giants will end up with a top five pick, and they should look at Drew Lock, the kid out of Oregon, Justin Herbert, somebody of that nature to take over for Eli. But in the meantime, I'm not benching Eli. I think he's the quarterback right now who gives him the best chance at winning.
I'm going touchdown, man. It's time because, you know, you guys – well, I think it was Charlie during the break said – no, it was you, Ben. During the break, you said that Odell, he's just not – he's not right there with the other superstars, and he may be overrated. And I think the reason why he is because he plays a position that is so dependent on the offensive line, the quarterbacks to do their job for him to get the ball. And it was all good. It was all good just a week ago. Not literally, but it was all good a few years ago when the ball was coming his way and he didn't get double covered. And there was the offensive line that did a good job of protecting. And that offensive line has been terrible over the last couple of years. And that has affected Odell Beckham's chances of getting the football. Eli is not the same quarterback. And here he is at 37. He's played 15 years in the league. And Saquon Barkley is amazing. He is actually more valuable right now for the Giants than Odell Beckham Jr. He was amazing last night. And he deserves to be a top five pick at the running back position. He is special. But you wonder, should they have drafted a quarterback from USC who plays for the Jets? Sam Darnold over Barkley, because you're going to get a quarterback that's going to be there 10, 15 plus years. You're not going to get Saquon Barkley at this level for 10, 15 years. You're just not.
Yeah. And that's such a weird dynamic because right now Saquon Barkley is the most dynamic athlete in that entire rookie class. Off the top of my head, I don't think I'm missing anybody.
You're right.
And so maybe the Giants were thinking, okay, maybe we can squeeze one more year out of Eli, have Saquon playing running back, and really utilize him in the passing game and the running game like you've seen them use Barkley. And then next year, because there's Drew Lock, there's Justin Herbert, there are a couple quarterbacks this year that you can go get in the first round. Maybe we can squeeze one more year out of Eli and then go get a quarterback next year. And then whether it be Drew Lock and Saquon Barkley, maybe they can be the future going forward. But they definitely need a new quarterback, a quarterback of the future, somebody like Sam Darnold.
Yeah, this time, it's weird because I remember when Peyton and Eli joined the league, I remember actually playing Ole Miss in 04, and Peyton and Eli was there at the game. I remember like it was yesterday, and here we are 2018, 14 years later. It's time for Eli to take a seat. It really is. It's time. He's looked bad, but he's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He played with a really good defense, but boy, he made some plays in that game, some really clutch throws, and he had his best moments when the stage was set, when the pressure was on the most. And you got to give credit to Eli Manning there. Managed playing in the Big Apple, shut down going to San Diego, and Archie and Eli kind of nixed that deal and forced his way to play for a big franchise there in New York. And he's had a good career, but it's over, man. It's over. The only difference between the Giants and the Cowboys is that the Cowboys had that Prescott kind of force Tony Romo's retirement because of his play. And the Giants, they don't have anybody that's going to force Eli Manning's retirement. They just need to make it happen and go draft a quarterback. That's the difference.
I know another takeaway from the Philadelphia side from last night's football game is I will never get tired of watching Derek Barnett play football. The way that guy runs around the football field is just relentless. And that was a good win for the Eagles last night, 34-13 over the Giants. Everybody was really down on the Giants, the Eagles. Carson Wentz kind of getting his feet back underneath them. And they don't really have a running game. Jay Ajayi tore his ACL earlier in the week. They don't have LeGarrette Blount. The receivers are still phenomenal. And then the defense has been lackluster compared to last season to start this season. Maybe it's just a product of them playing the 1-5 New York Giants, why they looked better. But I'd be surprised if the Eagles stay down this season and don't really have an impact on the playoffs. They're too talented of a football team to really stay down throughout the year. Everybody's been trashing, the NFC East? They've been trashing that division for the last couple of weeks, so
It's been trash. The Cowboys are trash. Yeah, the Giants are trash.
Well, I say that in the sense that everybody was including the Eagles in that, and because they had gotten off to a 2-3 start. And I want to say – I know one of their three losses was a close one to the Titans.
Yep.
And I want to say they had another close loss as well. So
Right. The Bucks, I think.
Yeah. So I'm not too down on the Eagles. I like the Eagles because of Derek Barnett. And like I said, I will never get tired of watching Derek Barnett play football.
No.
He's very good. Had a sack against the Titans, and it was very frustrating to watch. His pass rush is excellent.
He had the greatest sack celebration of all time, too.
He did, in fact.
He got the folks with the I don't even know what to call it.
Yeah, whatever that
the
is.
Circle thing that you're not supposed to look at.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Derek Barnett getting a sack against your Titans, I was thinking about this, I think a couple days ago, I was doing yard work. And remember this whole thing about Pruitt being an Alabama guy and coaching in Tennessee and folks kind of questioning, you know, how serious he's going to be about coaching Tennessee and getting Tennessee back to winning. And it made me think about Eric Berry. When Eric Berry returned home to play the Atlanta Falcons, he grew up as a Falcons fan. He's from the Falcons. He's from Atlanta, sorry. And he's playing for the Chiefs. He single-handedly beat the Falcons.
He had, what, a pick six, and then he had
– had a pick six at the goal line, didn't it? Wasn't it?
Well, it was a pick six, and then the Falcons were going for a two-point conversion, and he picked that off and ran it back to the house.
Right.
So he had, like, a pick six and a pick two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like – I don't think Eric Berry was like, yeah, you know, I just, you know, Atlanta's my team. I love Atlanta. You know, I'm going to take it easy on them. No, your job is to make plays and win, and Eric Berry did that. And Derek Barnett, his job is to win, and I'm pretty sure he grew up right there in Nashville.
Probably
maybe,
a Titans fan.
Maybe liking the Titans. Maybe. I don't
Possibly.
Know.
Possibly.
But
I know
for a fact Eric was a Falcon fan growing up.
Right, and I imagine, like, even like let's say Derek Barnett did grow up a Titans fan. I imagine that he probably wants to beat the Titans more than anybody on the schedule because he knows all his family and friends will be watching that game, especially in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Imagine how many tickets he had to give out for that football game. So those games in your hometown mean a little more, and I thought – obviously, I want the Titans to win every game they play except for when they play the Steelers. But it was cool to see Derek Barnett get a sack in his hometown against probably the team he grew up watching.
Yeah. It was – if someone had to get a sack in that game from the Eagles, at least it was Derek Barnett. But, hey, the Titans won, so I don't mind. Now, speaking of things being over, like Eli Manning's time with the Giants should be over. Hugh Freeze potentially being the OC at Tennessee is over because
I don't think it is.
Well, if he maybe has a chance to jump back into college, maybe he takes it. But as of yesterday, named the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Hotshots, the team who will be a part of the new
American
Alliance of American Football or something. Yes. Yeah.
See, I don't think it's over because I think if Tennessee went and offered him a position on their staff today, he would take it.
I'm sure he wants to be back in college.
I mean, would you rather be coaching in the Alliance of American Football? In what town? What team did he sign with?
Arizona Hotshots.
Would you rather be coaching in the Alliance of American Football League in Arizona, or would you rather be coaching in the SEC? Eating ice cream with Congbo or eating dead-end barbecue?
Yeah.
He won't be I won't say that. 865-255-03 B Dry Waterproofing Hotline. I won't say that. I think we got to be on our P's and Q's.
Yes, it's already been a controversial show.
Yeah, cuz Stokes and Buck Nasty already. I got to be on the straight and narrow now for the rest of the show because you know, Stokes kind of stole all our wiggle room there. We don't have much of it right now. Hour two brought to you by Alumni Hall, alumnihall.com. Your headquarters for everything orange and white. Next week is Bama week. So we will be at Alumni Hall next Friday, a week from today. Look forward to seeing you. We're going to give out some money. Well, technically it's not money.
It's all about the money.
It's a huge Alumni Hall gift card.
Huge.
So we're going to hook you up next weekend at Alumni Hall. Look forward to it. 865-255-03. Be right back.
Top 100 barbecue restaurants. restaurant, Dead End Barbecue, has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken. Not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today. We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells in what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
If you aren't following the Swain event on Twitter, then are you even on Twitter? Hit that follow button. It's the right thing to do.
I had to go and make sure that this was the right Twitter account because, you know, there is a Jimbo Himes out there. But Jimmy Himes tweeted yesterday. This is why Tennessee fans are the best. I'm trying to read this and not laugh. Because Jimmy's like shouting out the Tennessee fans. And I know most of his mentions are talking about Brom and throwing shade at him.
It's either Jeff Brom or what did the Haslams tell you to do today?
I saw a response to this tweet. It's you know, he says, shout out to the Tennessee football fans, and someone responded, we love supporting Jeff Brom's Vols.
Golly, man.
Never gonna live it down.
No, never. So Jimmy tweeted out that UT bought 5,000 tickets at $130 each for Saturday's game at Auburn. And Florida bought 2,900 for the trip to Knoxville. UT also sold over 65,000 season tickets for a team that hasn't won an SC game since November 2016. That's impressive. So it is. It is impressive.
I saw this yesterday, and my first thought, I tweeted this. I said, now, I mean, this makes sense as to why Tennessee thinks they can charge $105 minimum. That is the cheapest ticket. that you can get to the Alabama game. I mean, no wonder. 65,000 season tickets
for a
team that is bad. I mean, they're bad. It's not a good football team.
I was surprised when I saw Jimmy tweet that out.
Yeah.
Auburn's not close. I mean, it's not far.
It's like five, 6 hour drive, something?
A long drive. Yeah. It's not like it's driving to Nashville or Atlanta or Charlotte. It's a healthy trip, and what complicates things is the 11 a.m. kickoff, and because Auburn isn't a huge town, you have to stay in Montgomery, Birmingham, yep, Atlanta, so that complicates things. So I was surprised in the sense of it being in the middle of this season that something like this happened in the Auburn game, but then I was not surprised on the other hand because it is Tennessee fans. It goes back to that old joke that date a Tennessee fan because there's nobody that's going to be more loyal to you.
It's just I don't know if Tennessee will ever truly have the fans disconnect and say, I'm done. I mean, you would have thought that after what happened with the coaching search that would happen, but it hasn't. Man, it hasn't happened at all, man. Tennessee fans are the best. 5,000 tickets. And Florida only used 2,900 to come to the Tennessee-Florida game. But our fans are making that ride down to Auburn.
It's pretty amazing. And I don't want it to come off like I think the Tennessee fans are like dumb or anything because they're buying tickets for a bad team. I think it's amazing that kind of loyalty. That's incredible. Like I said, I guess really, you know, I complained. I've complained a lot about how much Tennessee, in my opinion, is just gouging fans for ticket price wise. But it seems like they got a market. So, you know, hey,
maybe as a reward, Jeremy Pruitt will show his appreciation for all these fans showing up by wearing a Tennessee lapel on Sunday during the Jeremy Pruitt show.
He needs to pay them back.
I told my fiance about that, the caller on Vols Calls on Wednesday night, and she said that she hopes that Pruitt absurdly dresses up for the show, just goes all out.
Just a tuxedo. An orange tuxedo.
Or some outrageous blazer.
I hope he does.
What if he shows up in an orange Tennessee tux?
A huge lapel pin. That's all. That's like all I wanted, man.
Yeah, it's like the size as big of as the T on Ben's shirt there.
It's just like the size of his pec. I hope somebody makes a shirt of him that says, I coach at Tennessee, and that's what he wears.
I'm proud to coach at Tennessee because there's some fans who think I'm not because I'm from Alabama. Oh, boy. All right, let's get to Turkey Man. Turkey Man, good morning.
Good morning, individuals.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, have a great, great weekend, by the way, before I forget and get carried away and this morning. But old Buck Nasty got me fired up this morning. I want to do some trash talking. And I got to going down memory lane there and got to thinking about it. You know, back years ago, Bear Bryant, he called Auburn the Cow College. And they was known as Cow College for years and years. I didn't know there was Tigers or War Eagles or nothing like that. I just know them as Cow College. And, you know, with Google out there, you can go pull that stuff up if you want to. And I think in 1979, I believe, that Miss Auburn was Bessie the Cow. And in 1979, and I got to thinking about here a while back, he was talking about house divided, and I hear a lot of stories, I guess they are, Auburn families and Alabama families, and you know, license plate that'd have to be would be a roll of toilet paper on one side of the license plate and a tree on the other side, but as their license plate because of Bama, they all the time carrying roll toilet paper around and commode plunger and then you got Auburn. They always don't think they got a tree that they celebrate throwing that toilet paper in. So I don't know, but old Buck Nasty had me going there because He's talking about the Cal College, and that's who we're playing this weekend's Cal College. And I just want to give you that from Steve from East Tennessee information. Have a good one, guys. Love you.
Hey, thank you, Turkey Man. Appreciate that. Appreciate that, Turkey Man. Thanks for the phone call, sir. Good to talk to you. Hope you have a great weekend there.
Cal College is how, when I covered Mississippi State, that was how Ole Miss always referred to State.
Mississippi State Cal College is definitely the Cal College.
They are. It's
in the SEC.
It's literally in the middle of a cow pasture, let's be honest. I love the folks down there. Had a good time covering that team. It's a Cal College.
Does it smell like manure everywhere?
No.
Absolutely.
But they literally.
Absolutely.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Tuscaloosa.
Ah, yes.
Turd Town.
Exactly. They are close together. They're only like an hour and a half apart, but.
I don't think it's even that. I think it's like 50 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, it's close. But Mississippi State does have, they have some agricultural programs that you cannot find at many other places.
What does State call Ole Miss?
School up north, Ole Piss. Ole Piss is a very popular one.
Simple but easy.
And then ones that I can't say on the radio. But
fair enough.
I mean, hey, you might be able to say it. We said everything yesterday.
That's true.
My goodness.
We're already going to pay an FCC fine, so why not just,
golly. 865-255-03. Let's take a quick timeout, and we're going to bring on Fred White. A little Championship Friday here on the Swain event. We'll bring on Fred on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline coming up next.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799. Gentlemen, when it comes to taking care of your health, sometimes the first step is the hardest. Low T Center is making it easier to take that first step. It all starts with knowing the numbers that are essential to a man. Testosterone levels, blood pressure, cholesterol, prostate, and thyroid. Low T Center makes it quick and easy to get all these levels checked and more. Low T Center specializes in men's health and has expanded their services, including sleep apnea, low thyroid, hypertension, severe allergies, high cholesterol, diabetes, and annual physicals, along with testosterone replacement therapy. The physicians at Low T Center not only want to help you feel good again, they want to help you prevent any serious health problems moving forward. Now, with the holistic approach to your overall health and wellness, Low T Center is making it more convenient for men to take care of their health, and most health insurance is accepted. They'll even verify for you. Take the first step for your health and call 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com. Reinventing men's healthcare.
Beatty Chevrolet is celebrating 85 years of low prices. And during Truck Month, choose from over 400 trucks and SUVs, all deeply discounted. Like a new Silverado, now 25% off. A new Equinox, now 20% off. And a certified pre-owned 15 Equinox or Terrain, now $16,995. Plus, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life.
Big selection and even bigger savings. That's why it's better at Beatty Chevrolet.
Number 232, savings off NSRV, including all dealer savings and manufacturer incentives with approved credit. List financing through GM. Offer expires 8/31/18.
Big Orange football is better alongside another Tennessee tradition, Mrs. Grissom's Salad. Mrs. Grissom's ready-made snacks and meals are perfect for game day. Crowd favorites like the select pimento cheese and cranberry pecan chicken salad are delicious and easy to grab and go right from the grocery store. Going to the game? Visit Mrs. Grissom's in Vol Village for the must-have panini grilled pimento cheese hot dog. Man, select the best. Select Tennessee's own Mrs. Grissom's.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Swain event, swainevent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. It's weird this week, man. I haven't even talked trash to my buddy from Decatur, Alabama, who is hosting the morning show there at WUMP, the UMP in Huntsville, Alabama. Gerard Powers, who played at Decatur High School, went to Auburn, did a great job there, and played several years in the NFL. And he took Cole Kublick's spot. Cole moved to Birmingham, and Gerard took his spot. So we're kind of talking back and forth right now. No trash talk. I mean, it's just...
He played in the early 2000s, correct?
No, he's after me. He was a freshman when I was a senior at Grissom High School. Him and Rolando McClain played on the same high school team.
In Decatur?
Mm-hmm.
Did they play at Austin?
No, Decatur High School.
Okay.
Yeah, Decatur High School. Yeah, I know you were calling Fred, so you didn't hear me say it, but yeah, Decatur High School. Yeah, Austin's from not Austin, but Powers is from there, and we've been kind of talking back and forth, and it's no trash talk, man. Usually with my buddies who play to other schools, there's some trash talk going on. Fred White's in Atlanta. It is Championship Friday. I'm pretty sure Fred knows some Auburn folks around. Fred, are you getting any trash talk from your Auburn buddies, or is people just not even bothered this week?
They haven't been barred up most of the year.
They been feeling bad for you, man?
They actually do. It's almost like, oh, bless your heart type of stuff.
Fred, this is the first time we've got you back on. I've not asked you about the 98 championship weekend, man. You know, we really haven't had a chance to really talk about it. I know you still keep in contact with all those guys, but that was the first time in a long time that everyone was here in one place, that you guys got a chance to hang out. You know, it's a special occasion if you see me out and about on a Friday night. So I got a chance to go out and see you, Fred. Fred, you looked surprised when you saw me. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Swain is out the house. Because I don't go out.
I don't think I've seen you outside the house past 9:30.
Yeah, I don't go out and party much, man. But I had to. Got a chance to see you and Al and Travis and you know, Travis Henry, Travis Stevens, Dante. I mean, everyone was here, man. It was cool to see everybody. But how was that for you, man, to be with everybody, see everybody in one place at one time?
That was amazing. It hasn't happened in a long time. We see each other on a regular basis, but you'll see maybe four or five here, two or three here. But all of us in one place at one time, that was amazing. And I'm going to say about 90% of the guys that were on that team were back. About 90%. A few guys couldn't make it because their kids had obligations and those type of things, but it was about 90%. I mean, that was amazing, just to see everybody and talk and laugh. And it turned into the locker room back in 1998. It just did. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
I know the wives were sitting there like, man, I'm ready to go home. I'm tired of y'all talking about the same old stuff. But it makes it even better when everybody is there. Every piece of the story is there because we're all there together, you know? And it was just amazing. And then one of the more amazing things was that a lot of these guys are doing really well. I mean, we didn't just have a good football team. We had guys with good character and guys who knew how to win at life, you know? So it makes it even better when you see guys and they're doing well.
Fred, no one's going to judge you here. No one's going to take away your VFL card. You guys won a championship. No one's going to question you. But when did you leave in the Florida game? I've already said I left at halftime. I couldn't take it anymore. When did you guys start to say, "Yeah, we can't watch this, man. This is bad. We can't watch Tennessee like this." At what point of the game did you guys start to make your way to the exit?
We actually stayed to the end, all the way to the end. The game was over. We actually didn't leave the stadium until about an hour after the stadium game was over.
That's why y'all are VFLs, man. That's what ultimate VFLs.
We watched. It's really tough. But that first half was tough to watch. Let me say that. Then the second half was not as bad. We watched the defense, and I was more impressed with how they didn't quit, didn't give up. And they made some mistakes. And it's like, when they say it's a game of inches, it is a game of inches. When you talk about, you know, a lineman, a sideman, those type of things. And I understand we're playing some young guys. And that's the stuff we were talking about. Man, he has no inside help. Why is he playing outside man? And, you know, and you get beat on the slant. He has inside help. Why is he playing inside man? Go outside. I mean, like, it's a step this way or a step that way. Like, stuff like that matters. If you get beat by a lineman, I mean, what can you do? Sometimes you can do that. But you're watching and seeing, like, certain guys show up, certain guys not show up. But you get a chance to see the entire process, and it's like, okay, I see what we're trying to do. We gotta figure out ways to execute it. You know what I mean? And I try to watch with a open mind.
Yes.
And I think everybody was doing, in the group that I was sitting with, we were all trying to watch with an open mind. Okay, this is what we're trying to do. These are the concepts they're actually trying to use. I get it. All right. It's going to be a while because we don't have some of the talent that we need in some of those positions in order to make it work.
Fred, you are in Atlanta. 2 weeks ago, Tennessee played in Georgia, and I know how it has been for you Vols down there in Atlanta. I talked to several Georgia Vols on Twitter, and I understand how you got to deal with the Georgia fans rubbing it in and stuff like that. Like, how did you watch the Georgia game? What did you feel about how Tennessee played from the Florida game to the Georgia game? What were your feelings during that game?
I actually felt that we played a lot better. We played better. Our defense is giving us some chances. And if we don't have the depth that we need in order to keep those guys fresh throughout the game, but they did a pretty good job. They didn't do so bad. I mean, like I said, if you're watching with an open mind, you see something completely different than what, you know, the score looks like. And we did some really good things against them. It showed that they didn't quit. It showed that they were, you know, they were actually in the game at points. And it's like, okay, you see the talent difference that Georgia has. You see the depth difference that Georgia has. They can put three or four running backs on the football field and do some things with them. The secondary is better. The linebacking core is better. The defensive line has more depth. And it's like, okay, we didn't do what bad. We did a pretty good job. And I did have to wear a Georgia hat and take a picture in it because one of my Georgia doctors was like adamant about betting me in the game. So I said, you know what, I'll go ahead and do it and be a good sport. I hated doing it, but I'll do it again because I'm always going to boot my team. I'm always going to pick my team. And my heart is always going to pick my team, but I already knew we were going to lose the game, of course. But, I didn't see us really bad. We're not a horrible football team. We're just not as talented as some of the teams that are in the top. And that's it.
There's been talk, you know, about this locker room. Last year, there was some infighting there. And then, you know, you play Auburn this week, and there's been reports of how the team, particularly on the defense side of the football, they are not responding too well to Jarrett Stidham. They are not following his lead at all. They're not happy with how he has handled some losses. I guess my first question to you is, when you lose, what is the proper, I guess, emotion? Because some guys, they shake it off, okay? You know, remember a couple years ago, Gronkowski, they lost in the Super Bowl, and Rob Gronkowski was dancing at the club. He was partying, and they had just lost the Super Bowl. Some guys, they can shake it off. Doesn't matter if you win, you lose. They can go out and have a good time. They leave football in between the lines. There's some guys that when you lose, they take it with them. They don't want to go out. It impacts their mood. I guess what I'm asking you is, man, like, if you're on a team, you play defense, and y'all lose, but you see a quarterback partying and having a good time, and he's skipping around, smiling, like, how does that make you feel as a defensive player?
I'm thankful to have played on a football team where if we lost a football game, you didn't want to hear a peep out of anybody. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to hear anything on the bus. You didn't want to hear anything in the locker room. No laughing, no none of that. You didn't want to hear it. You need to take a thing, because if you don't, you might have to, your jaw might be wired shut the next day if you don't. It's a different era. These guys are a little bit different. But, yeah, we didn't – if we lost a football game, I didn't want to hear a peep. I mean, you could hear a pin drop on our bus coming back. And on the plane, it's no joking, no none of that. We just – it was not the time for it. And you better be ready to go to work the next week, because it's going to be a whole lot more intense than what it was the week before. And even though our practices were always intense, but it was a different thought process. And I think when you've lost so much – as a team, I don't know if they have that same fight sometimes, because it's, you know, it becomes a part of who you are. It's like, dang, man, you know, no matter how hard I work, still not going to win. But that's not the case. You got to continue to work hard and get the job done. And I don't know that they're not doing that. I can't say that they aren't. But it's like, no, I wouldn't want to see one of my teammates laughing. I don't think that would have been a good idea for that person or me.
What do you think of Pruitt so far, Fred? Think he's done a good job?
I get what he's trying to do. However, I have come to the realization that we just do not have the talent overall to get that job done just yet. But you got to lay down your foundation. Now, I would like to see us be a little bit more aggressive when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. Get the ball downfield a little bit more, those type of things. And I'm not trying to criticize the offensive coordinator, because he knows his offensive line is not very good. But you got to find ways to show that you can attack, to loosen up your defenses and those type of things. And I get it. I understand. We don't have time with offensive line. We have some good running back. We don't have any other great. We have a really good receiving core, in my opinion. I think that's your best asset. So try to find a way to get the ball to those guys down the football field. And defensively, like I said, I think I see what he's trying to do. It's going to take a minute. It's a process. And anytime you get a new coach, you want to see the new things he's going to bring and those type of things. But here's the thing. You don't have the talent to do some of those things. You really don't at the moment. We don't have the depth to do some of those things. Our first defensive line, Alexis Johnson and Chateau, playing those guys play hard when they're in. But when they go out, you cannot get the same production because you don't have anything behind
them. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I'm looking at Pruitt and saying, okay, I see what you're doing. I see exactly what you're trying to do. When you get the players, I think you may be able to do those things. But until then, we're going to have some situations and some games where we're just not going to be in. And don't have, you know, you always have a chance to play to win the game if you play it, period. They never know what can happen. But I watch. They don't quit. I see the frustration on their faces. I see the frustration when they play. They're trying hard. It's just not happening at this moment. But it's a process. And do I think he's done a pretty good job? I do. Look at the schedule we just played, and we're still playing. You can take any team in the top 10 and put them in this schedule, and no one's coming out unscathed, in my opinion, including Alabama. I just don't think anyone can go through this situation and be undefeated. You played West Virginia, which is now, what, a top 10 team?
Oh, yeah.
You played Florida, which is a top 25 team. You played Georgia, the number two team in the country. I mean, like, I get it. That is a – you've got to be the – you came, you became the head coach of Tennessee, and you got the hardest schedule in the country to boot your first year. Man, hey, look, I'm not worried about that. I think he's doing a good job.
How do you deal with, because I'm asking you this question because of what's going on at Auburn, you know, defensive players, not big Jarrett Stidham fans, and you look at the Auburn offense and they're struggling, they're having a really tough time moving the football, and it's really putting the defensive unit in a bad spot, and they're losing games, and not because of Auburn's defense, they're playing lights out. And they're the best in the country. You look at the numbers. Like, how do you deal with, like, maybe finger-pointing or not finger-pointing? Do you talk to the offensive players when they're struggling? Do you try to motivate them? Or do you just worry about what you're doing on defense and just hope that they figure it out at some point?
Well, here's the thing. The game has changed a lot. And even when we all played Manning, there were games where the offense didn't do very well. Defense did great. Mm-hmm. I mean, having two runners, two games that we played where the offense didn't do well and defense did great. We didn't point any fingers. It's a team sport. You got to do your job. If the team, if they can't score, they can't win. And that's our job, to make sure they can't score on the defensive side of the ball. So if that's what's going on in Auburn, that's the issue that you have in the locker room. That's the issue with your leadership. I don't think we ever pointed the finger at our offense, ever, on any team that I played on, because our job was to get the ball back and give them an opportunity. We had 6 turnovers against Florida in 1998. We had to win in overtime. I mean, every now and then there's a game that the defense doesn't play very well. We played against Arkansas that year. In that first half, we got our butts kicked. Our offense saved the game. They saved the day. Came back, they played better in the second half defensively, but no one pointed the finger. That's when you start a problem on your football team. It is a team, period. There are 3 facets of the game. There's offensive, defensive, and special teams. You got to go out there and get those things done either way it goes. Find ways to figure out how to win the game regardless. On defense, that's fine. The offense is not moving the ball. Find a way to get the ball out of the hands of the other team. Find a way to make turnovers. Find a way to score on defense. I mean, like, just play harder.
Did y'all ever have any times when you had to maybe check Peyton Manning back in the day? Did that ever happen? Where you was like, come on, Peyton, man, let's get it. Let's go, man. Stop doing this or let's do this. Or
No, we didn't. Now, he did try a few times to say something to us, and when he did, it didn't go very well.
What did he say, man? Come on, defense, get us the ball back. Come on, stop somebody.
Come on, let's go, guys. Come on. And our leader on the squad, that was the defensive leader, was like, hey, don't do that.
I wish I was a fly on the wall there, man.
Don't do that. And he understood at that moment, you know what? I may not need to say anything. Yeah, because you threw an interception earlier. Don't do that.
Oh, man. All right, man. We got Fred White here on the show with us this morning. Tennessee, Auburn this weekend.
Fred, what have you seen out of the safeties this season, and how would you grade them to this point?
Ooh, you put me on the spot with that one.
I'm putting you on the spot, Fred.
Here's the thing. When you're looking at the secondary, you have to take into account a few things. Pass rush. How long the quarterback has to throw the ball, how long you got to cover, what type of defenses are we running, and what type of situations we're putting them in. Are we using them to the best asset? I don't see us having any safety that can actually cover man-to-man without help. I don't see that. I don't know one safety on our team that can do that. Now, can they play well in space, in zones, and those type of things with help? They can. anytime you're looking at the secondary, you have to also look at the pass rush. The first game we've actually really had a pass rush was against Georgia, and Darryl Taylor had a pretty good game rushing the passer. Lessis Johnson and Sean Tuttle did a good job of collapsing the pocket, those type of things. Our secondary played better. Now, it's tough on them right now. It really is, because I see their best attributes, and we use them in a different way. And we play a lot of young guys. And I think Abernathy has shown he can play years past. However, in this defense, a new defense, new concepts, it's very tough on the defensive backs. You have to be very smart. You have to be understanding of what's going on the football field. And when it comes to, like, a motion or a shift, things change. Your results, your reads change, and those type of things. I've talked to several of the coaches, you know, throughout the weeks, and those are things we talk about. And have they played great? No. Can they play better? Absolutely.
I've been kind of impressed with the young corners. Usually, because I remember 2014. When you had guys like Emmanuel Moseley playing corner, you had some young guys at corner, and we were getting torched over the top. Like, you're going to take your lumps when you play a young secondary. And I don't feel like that teams have really crushed us over the top and taken advantage of our young secondary since the West Virginia game.
Yeah, I can say the same. And that comes with, you know, playing a better technique. Those type of things. And, you know, being a freshman starting in the first game of the season, yeah, it's going to be tough. Now, like, these guys they have some talent. And I think over time they'll be really good football players. At this moment, like I said, anytime you're playing in the secondary, if you don't have a pass rush, the game becomes a lot harder. You look at the teams that have really good secondaries. Look at the Alabama team. Look at LSU. Look at, you know, Georgia. Their DBs, all those DBs are really good. Those secondaries are really good. They have a pass rush. It makes it easier to play the game when you have a pass rush. You can play off man and read and wait for the ball to come out early. Our guys can't wait for the ball to come out early. They're just not coming out early. So it means you got to cover. And anything past 3 seconds?
Whew.
It's tough.
It is.
Fred, I think that in order for Tennessee to upset Auburn this weekend, Tennessee's defense and or special teams is going to have to come up with a defensive touchdown. Did you ever have a game like that where you felt that the defense needed to produce some points to help out the offense? And if you did that added pressure maybe affect how you played as a defense?
We wanted to put points on the board every game we played.
Right.
I mean, so that was, you know, our whole thing was trying to get turnovers, period. Interception, a sack, fumble, anything. Cause, fumble, recovery, return, anything we could. We wanted to put points on the board all the time. And, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you don't get to put the ball in the end zone that much. You know, we wanted to every week. Now, in a game, Auburn, when we played in 1998, Jamal Lewis goes down, and we have to have a goal line stand to basically win the game. Now, keep in mind, Jamal Lewis ran for his first carry from scrimmage was a touchdown. Our second touchdown came from a fumble recovery and return by Sean Ellis, about 60-something, maybe 70-something yards. Our defense pretty much won the game simply because our offense did not put any points on the board. I think we got a field goal other than that. And that was it. I think it was 17-10, I want to say the score was. Something like that. Something to that nature. Very close, though. But we had to have a goal line stand in order to win the game. And our offense only put up so many points. We put up just as many touchdowns as they did on the defensive side. No one moaned about it. No one, you know, blamed the offense. We just played. It's a team game. Sometimes you play well, sometimes you don't. It is what it is. And I can't sit back and say that Auburn team wasn't a good football team, because that defense they had was top 10 in the nation. So, yeah, that's a game that happened, but did we come out and say, is this depression on us? No, we didn't.
I'm looking.
We try to do that every week. If you're a good defense, that's what you want anyway.
I'm looking at the Sean Ellis interception return for a touchdown there at Auburn in 98 season. Man, where were you, man? Where were you in the play?
Blocking. I was blocking people from behind him because it was the slowest return I've ever seen in my life.
It took him forever to get there, man.
Forever, dude. And he would not give up the ball. He would not give it up. He was not going to run 40 yards. And get the ball up. He was gonna say. He said he was gonna score.
This is my touchdown punk.
This is my touchdown punk. He was right.
Yeah, I'm looking for you, man. I don't see you in the shot, man. I see.
I am blocking.
All right. I'll take your word for it, man. He looked slim, man. I mean, he was moving a little bit, breaking tackles.
He listen. That was the slowest return in UT history.
That's a long return, man. I think Auburn had the ball on the 11-yard line and tried to shovel pass, and then Sean Ellis picked it off and returned it for a touchdown. That's on Vol Network's Twitter account there. 865-255-03. Fred, you got another 10 minutes in you, man?
Yeah, no problem.
We're going to take a break here shortly, and then we'll come back 10 more minutes here in hour three, and then we'll talk to Auburn beat writer, and then we will talk a little bit more about this Auburn-Tennessee matchup. Joined by Fred White here on the Swain Event. It's Championship Fridays, and he joined us on the B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. It's good to have Fred White on. You can follow him on Twitter as well. 865-255-03 is our telephone number if you want to get in on the conversation with us. Maybe talk to Fred, ask him a question. You can do that right here on the Swain Event. We'll take a look at the text box and all your messages and comments and questions, and we'll dive into all that in hour three right here on the Swain Event.